over again. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, our first case is Singh versus Barr.
Good morning, Your Honor. Tina Lipkin on behalf of the petitioner. This is an asylum case from the Board of Appeals. Petitioner contends that the board erred in failing to find that the immigration judge's adverse credibility finding was erroneous and failing to reach the issue whether he could safely relocate within India. In regards to the adverse credibility finding, the judge relied purely on conjecture and inappropriately penalized the petitioner for having submitted a supplemental statement prior to the individual hearing to correct mistakes that were in the original statement that was prepared. I believe he was in detention or shortly out of detention, where he claimed that the person who prepared that statement did not read it back to him in his native language of Punjabi. The supplemental statement corrected the mistake during the April 2012 arrest, where he initially indicated he was arrested with his brother and rendered unconscious. And he corrected that to diminish, actually, the harm he suffered, and alleged his brother was not with him at the time he was harmed. He was somewhere else, but also harmed on the same day. And he was not rendered unconscious.
There were other issues that IJ relied on, is that right?
Well, there was...
I mean, the IJ found him not credible because of his demeanor, the inconsistencies that you just pointed to.
Well, in regards to the demeanor...
And the implausibility.
Right. I'll address the demeanor issue. The demeanor issue that Judge King had rested her findings on was boilerplate, as we argued in the brief. She did not really explain how a gesture or a look or his countenance somehow was related to what he was saying and how that might have in some way negatively affected his credibility. She just made a blanket statement, which was improper. In regards to...
She found that he was not responsive in a number of areas, right?
She found that he was non-responsive. However, the petitioner testified regarding the issues of non-responsiveness had to do with the changes that he had made in the supplemental statement. He kept trying to explain that the first statement was improperly translated to him, and instead of giving weight, whatever weight she wanted to give to that explanation, she stated he was not responsive. Again, she didn't give detail exactly why he was unresponsive on a certain point that she found him not responsive. In regards to plausibility, again, that was sort of a generalized finding. She merely relied on, without making an individualized analysis regarding relocation, that petitioner failed to provide even more documentary evidence in regards to background documents regarding Sikhs attacking Dara such as Suda members such as himself, although in Exhibit 7 he did provide a number of documents establishing there were clashes, Sikhs attacking DSS members like him. There's also the issue of relocation. The board did not address relocation, resting its affirmance of the IJ's decision on the adverse credibility finding. But in fact, relocation is a central issue of his claim, and due to the lack of analysis regarding any individualized harm that he would suffer should he relocate, and the fact that the government never offered any suggestion as to where he might safely relocate.
Well, the BIA didn't address the relocation.
Exactly.
Right?
If you were
to prevail on your adverse credibility argument, then we'd have to go back to the board for consideration of all the other issues. Is that right?
That's what we thought.
And if you don't prevail, then it doesn't matter if that issue was not reached, correct?
That is true. However, there is one more issue here, and that's his CAT claim of Convention Against Torture. The board found that due to the adverse credibility finding, it would find he was ineligible for CAT relief. However, that's improper. The board is supposed to look at the background documentary evidence, specifically in Exhibit 7, to find whether the country conditions prevented him from safely avoiding torture.
Then he would be tortured,
right,
with the acquiescence of the government. Was there anything in the record that would indicate that the petitioner would be tortured with the acquiescence of the government?
Well, there was the time his family tried to make a police report. He was fingerprinted by the police and then threatened, don't make any more reports.
That's not torture, though, is it?
He was not tortured. However, he was denied the protection of the state when trying to complain against a Caridad members who had attacked him. And in light of the police threats against him for making future complaints, that suggests a high probability that the police would acquiesce or turn a blind eye to any further harm the petitioner would be subject to by members of the Caridad.
So the BIA decision didn't stop with the adverse credibility determination when addressing the CAT claim. It also went on to say that the respondent did not establish that he more likely than not was suffered torture by or with the acquiescence of a public official. Isn't that enough?
The board addressed that but didn't properly analyze it in light of the petitioner's appellate arguments regarding what I had just mentioned, that the police had threatened him not to complain again. Therefore, he couldn't possibly seek the protection of the police in the future should he encounter harm by the Akali.
But the board is not required to address every piece of evidence in reaching this decision, is it?
It's supposed to look at all the evidence, Your Honor.
But does it have to address each piece of evidence? We assume that the board looked at all the evidence, but does the board have to address each piece of evidence in its decision?
I think in light of an adverse credibility finding, when the board addresses several points that an IJ might make, that could be sufficient. But here, the board did not at all appear to consider the petitioner's appellate arguments regarding the acquiescence of the police regarding past harm he suffered and therefore the likelihood of future harm he would suffer.
So what case are you relying upon to support your argument that the language that is in the board's decision is not sufficient?
We quoted Almanzar versus Gonzalez in our brief regarding the requirement of the board to address the background documents and give it weight regarding an applicant's future fear of persecution or torture.
So what specific language in Almanzar are you relying upon?
Cite me the page that you rely upon in the specific language. 922 to 923 regarding that background documents, specifically the Department of State report, would compel a conclusion that an applicant would be more likely than not to be tortured.
Well, it says there on page 922, there is no evidence that the IJ failed to consider the evidence.
For that case, but in this case, we argue that the IJ did. The Department of State report on the first page stated that the police act with impunity and have not been, brought to justice for acts of impunity against detainees, against people who sought redress. Similar in this situation, the petitioner had gone to the police to make a complaint against the Caridad. They not only turned him away, they threatened him not to come to them again, clearly showing the same sort of level of impunity that the board failed to take consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to say that your seconds left.
Yes.
It was for the government.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Todd Cochran on behalf of the Attorney General. The Court should deny the petition for review because substantial evidence supports the agency's determination that Mr. Singh... Problems with the voice again?
Yeah.
I'm going to move it closer if that helps.
No, but it makes it worse.
Sorry, trying to help. Is that any better?
Yeah, that's just a little...
May it please the Court?
That's not a little better. Let's
see if I can talk about it.
We'll step back.
Okay.
We'll come closer.
Okay. May it please the Court, Todd Cochran on behalf of the Attorney General.
Can the audience hear?
Yes.
Well,
they're having a
problem. Let's see how we go. Why don't you go ahead? We'll have her alert the people.
Yes, sure. May it please the Court, Todd Cochran on behalf of the Attorney General. The Court has denied the petition for review because substantial evidence supports the agency's determination that Mr. Singh failed to carry his burden to support his asylum application with credible testimony in light of contradictions between his testimony and his initial statement attached to his application, his non-responsive demeanor while testifying, and the implausibility of his testimony when compared to his documentary evidence. Is that better?
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Shall I move forward or shall we?
I keep going.
Okay. Moreover, the documents he submitted neither rehabilitate his credibility nor independently prove his claim because the undetailed affidavits he provided were from interested family members not subject to cross-examination, and the medical certificate and letter he submitted did not sufficiently describe the past harm he claimed to have suffered.
So let me take you through the BIA's decision, which primarily relied on demeanor inconsistencies and implausibilities, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the demeanor primarily turned on the IJ's determination that Mr. Singh was non-responsive in several areas.
Yes.
But when you read the transcript, he tried to answer the question. Just like author reason, and try to answer the question. And the board says, and the IJ says, well, that's not responsive. What does not responsive mean?
I think here the IJ was saying the answers weren't responsive to, weren't addressing the question asked. For example, the IJ asked how the religious practices differed between the Sikhs and the Rahim followers, and he said, because the Sikhs don't like the Baba, as an example. He also asked him, why has Baba Rahim been your life's focus? And he said, in a quote, because Babaji has a lot of land in Sirsa, they grow a lot of wheat, and he's a good human being, and he does good things.
What's an answer? Why is that not responsive?
Well, I think the immigration judge is trying to understand the dispute between the Rahim followers and the Sikhs, which was the basis of his claim. We're trying to get to what the differences were, what was the cause of the conflict, to try to see if he was being accurate, and he wasn't being, that he was not being answered, but went to that, the crux of that issue, Your Honor.
So it's sort of like an attempt to evade answering when we know the answer is going to be one that's not helpful to you.
Yes, it appears to be an evasiveness, yes.
Well, you can say evasive. You said non-responsive.
Well, it's not responsive to the question being asked. Isn't the
idea? Is that the same thing, being evasive and being non-responsive? What does non-responsive mean to you?
Well, I think non-responsive can mean a number of things. It can mean not responding at all.
I'm not responding at all, right?
It can also mean not answering the question being asked.
Being evasive,
yeah.
I made that objection a lot.
Yes,
that was
right.
Yes,
sir. But I didn't put my own impression of that particular aspect of the IJ's credibility finding. I didn't find it all that persuasive, but he had others.
Yes.
Inconsistencies,
yes. And as Your Honor is well aware, the Real ID Act permits any one inconsistency, demeanor finding, plausibility, document contradictions, any one of those can support the agency's decision.
Counsel, even if the demeanor finding is thrown out, do you think there's still enough to support the adverse credibility determination?
Yes, I do, Your Honor. As Judge Pius mentioned there are a number of other reasons. The inconsistency of the statement between his initial statement and his testimony didn't seem to line up somewhat with the supplemental declaration that he submitted. There's also the implausibility where he continued to talk about the Sikhs were, or the police were with the Sikhs and against his followers. And the document evidence that he submitted showed that in fact was not true. In Punjab, where he grew up and where he lived, when his events occurred, there was a number of articles in the record that he submitted showing that the police were trying to prevent any violence between them. They had, in fact, arrested one 2014 article located at 186 in the record. Because a police raid that resulted in the arrest of four radical Sikhs accused of being part of a mob that attacked the Baba Rahim followers. They also arrested and released two Baba Rahim followers. Some of these articles show that they were trying to prevent any violence amongst the two religious followers, and they, in fact, were not supporting the Sikhs against the Rahim followers. So that was what the IJ's plausibility finding was based upon documents that Mr. Singh himself submitted that didn't make sense in light of his testimony with what they were looking at.
On the inconsistency between the first statement and the second statement?
Yes.
Well, there seems to be some confusion over whether or not Mr. Singh had an opportunity to clarify or to address the first statement at the hearing, right? Wasn't there some confusion?
Well, there was
the IJ was talking about if you didn't correct the first statement.
The IJ did provide multiple times a warning to Mr. Singh about your application to be true and correct, everything to be accurate, if something is not.
They're talking about the second statement
at that point, weren't they? Yes. And Mr. Singh, at 148 of the record, he said the initial statement was a shorter version, and his attorney affirmed that and called the second statement the more detailed one. It didn't say it's the replacement of the first one. Mm-hmm. It just said this is more detailed. They contradicted one another.
What if he said that this is a replacement for the first one? Did IJ still find inconsistencies between the first one and the second one?
The IJ can, I think it cuts it back a little bit, Your Honor, yes. The IJ still can compare any documents he submitted to see inconsistency and contradictions. I think if he had said this is in place of the first one, it would have made that a harder analysis for the IJ to make, but he didn't say that here. He said it was a supplemental one, or the more detailed one was the second one.
So say he would have describe the second one as replacing the first one, would the IJ then have had an obligation to give him an opportunity to explain discrepancies?
Yes, the IJ didn't have an opportunity to explain discrepancies. And I believe he was asked about the discrepancies.
The main discrepancies are that he said on 4:15 he was with his brother.
Yes.
And the business about being unconscious or nervous or whatever.
Yeah, so the original statement, he said that he was his brother, he was attacked by the Sikhs. They said, they tried to kill me and brother by twisting our necks and beating us on our chests, and we became unconscious and ran to save our lives. And then his second statement that he submitted 3 months later, said that he was alone, not with his brother, that he got scared and he ran away, and there was no mention of these later claimed attacks on his brother that happened the same day, as he alleged. But when he testified, he said he was alone, brother was attacked same day in a different place, and then he got nervous and ran away. And the judge wanted to clarify the situation about being unconscious versus getting nervous. And the judge specifically said to him, you understand, I'm paraphrasing, that unconscious means blacking out or unable to do anything else. And he said he understood that he just got nervous, which contradicted what he said in his initial statement.
Would it be your position that even if we were to think that some of these inconsistencies and discrepancies were not really that significant kind of nitpicking, you still win though because of the special deference this court has to give to the credibility findings of the IJ and the IA?
Yes, Your Honor. The substantial evidence standard would require the court to uphold the agency's determination unless it's compelled to conclude that a different result is required. And as we've talked a couple of times, the Real ID Act requires, it allows the agency to rely upon any one inconsistency, demeanor, plausibility, documentary contradictions. Any one of those is enough to support the agency's determination.
What seems to be the best of the real problem petitioner has stated that really high bar under the Real ID Act.
I'm sorry, did you repeat the question?
Well, it seems that the biggest problem the petitioner has here is that high bar they have to get over under the Real ID Act because of the special deference we have.
That is definitely a challenge for the petitioner, Your Honor. No further questions? The question is not a petition for review because it's not compelled to find that Mr. Singh clearly testified due to his non-responsive demeanor, contradictions to his testimony and written statements, implausibility of his testimony, and his failure to submit sufficient documentation to corroborate his findings. As a result, substantial evidence supports the agency's determination that Mr. Singh failed to establish his eligibility for asylum, withholding, and cat protection. For the reasons discussed today and in the answer in brief, the court should deny the petition for review. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, we're about the petition counsel. 1 minute and 19 seconds.
19 seconds. This court has found that an applicant's lack of detailed knowledge of religious requirements or beliefs in their religion should not be reason to find them incredible. In this case, government counsel brought up the fact that the petitioner wasn't able to give additional detail between the differences of the DSS and other Sikhs, but the court found in GM versus Gonzalez 45 of 3992 Seventh Circuit, not the circuit, that adverse credibility finding could be overturned when an IJ improperly based finding regarding the applicant's belief system based on the IJ's own belief system of what a person should know about the religion.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. We appreciate your arguments this morning. Same versus bar is significant.